All right, ladies and gentlemen, live, formerly of the University of Illinois, we've got the top asset protection lawyer in the country, if not the world. That's right. Right now, we've got Mr. Tom Handler. Tom, are you out there, man?
I am, Jim. How are you?
I couldn't resist, bud. I just couldn't resist. I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I felt like a member of the Chicago Bulls, but that music and introduction is very familiar to me.
Now, I just wanted to make sure you had what you needed to get yourself kicked off in the right way, Big T. How's everything going?
Everything's great, thank you. Spring is here. The rains have been coming, so hopefully that means it'll be a beautiful spring as things open up. It's been unseasonably warm. We had a really very light winter, so we have lots to celebrate here in Chicago.
Well, that plus the World Championship Baseball team, at least for another few months.
We're very excited to see them start up again, and we're looking forward to the Blackhawks running the playoffs.
Getting
Stanley Cup, so we're ready to go.
No, listen, I was going to ask you about the Blackhawks later, but you beat me to the punch. So listen, let's get right to it because we got a lot of ground to cover, and I'm hoping you can stick with us for a couple of segments. But you know, you've done your Handler Thayer 2017 Family Office Outlook. I know you guys go to all these events. I know that you meet with all these families and their different people that work with them. So why don't we get started? What's your, you know, let's go down through the numbers. What do you got there?
Sure. Well, first off, we've been publishing this piece annually sort of as a result of working at the high end of the market with super ultra high net worth family businesses and family offices. So our practice is global, so it's primarily U.S. focused, but many of these families are international or based overseas as well.
Okay.
And the protocol that we kind of follow, I'll call it advanced planning for lack of a better word, but it's focused on long-term wealth preservation and enhancement. So a lot of that relates to what you mentioned. It's asset protection, risk management, being very, very careful and thoughtful in every aspect of their operations. So in that regard, some of this is income tax and estate tax and VAT tax and asset protection and premarital planning. It's sort of a financial hodgepodge of elements that when put together can put in place a plan that allows a client to more likely survive. So the dominant trend, I think, in the last year in particular has been this real focus on risk. And in fact, the CEO of one of the largest multifamily offices in the country, and certainly the most award-winning person in this position, sent a note and said, hey, we agree with you. This is our single biggest concern, and it relates to all the levels of risk out there that wealthy people are facing. And it's sort of a combination of government regulation or overregulation. It's lawsuits and liabilities and class actions. It's spoofing and phishing and cyber hacking and identity theft and con men and wire fraud and hostage and kidnap and all these really horrific events that make you want to curl up and protect, you know, your family as much as humanly possible. So in view of the rising level of global threats, which is also fueled by, you know, conflicts and senses of nationalism and a number of developments going on in the world, has put this issue at the forefront. And the responses, of course, are things like, you know, lots of legal liability protection, use of entities, asset protection techniques and strategies in family holding companies, offshore asset protection trusts, property and casualty captive insurance companies, special risk and Lloyd syndicate type insurances, director and officer's liability, larger umbrella policies. And so people are dialing up the level of caution and the amount of procedures and money they're willing to spend to protect themselves from these various risks, if that makes sense.
Sure it does. And if they're looking to avoid risk and they're still in a world that's seeking yield, it sounds like there's a balance that needs to be struck between the two. How do you do that?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think the besides the strategies and techniques specifically focused on protecting individuals and businesses from these threats. People are using hedging and diversification in their investments, in their tax strategies, in their estate strategies, in their business strategies. That level of diversification and hedging and dialing down the risk permeates almost every aspect of business and investment. And it's clearly a tricky thing to do, but that's the balance people are trying to strike. And at the same time, we've got parts of the world that have sensed, you know, significantly growing senses of nationalism.
Yes,
that would be true in the, you know, in the U.S., in France, in Germany, in China, and those senses of nationalism sometimes lead to protectionism and other similar strategies. But make no mistake that the globalization of families, businesses, finance, investments is a strong and enduring global trend, and that any of these short-term blips that may slow or discourage global commerce are really not going to change that trend, that the fact that the world is flat and getting flatter is just the state of affairs. And although it could be slowed down here and there, at the end of the day, the trend really isn't going to change.
You know, well, I live here in Miami, and we see a lot of people bringing assets into the United States, putting them in commercial and residential real estate. That's one of the strategies I have in my loan programs. And I see that this happens all the time. And now with the run-up in the stock market, I've got to believe that families are starting to look at how they balance their assets because I've got to believe, unnaturally weighted now to the stock market. They may need to move some things around. And with interest rates going up a little bit, maybe they're looking at more fixed assets. What are you seeing?
Well, you're right on the money. And two of the dominant trends relate to the issues you just raised. So first, you know, in view of the overperformance of the equity markets over the last 10 years, families globally tend to be weighting equities, commodity-type investments versus bond or debt. Mm-hmm. And that overweighting is likely to continue. And at the same time, you have two things happening. You've got global taxpayer flight, where taxpayers are leaving high-tax jurisdictions and jurisdictions with little or low rule of law, and jurisdictions where the government routinely expropriates your money. Families are trying to get their money and business out of those countries as fast as possible, and increasingly the global safe haven is viewed as the United States. And it's certainly not because of our liability or our crazy personal injury, medical malpractice, crazy tort system. It's not because of our overregulation or our courts, and it's not because of our laws. It's in part because the rule of law makes it very difficult for a government to improperly expropriate your assets. It can be done, and it has been done, but people believe that we are the least likely country to steal their money, and that's why the money's been flying into the U.S. So although in the last year of the Obama administration, over 5,000 Americans renounced and left the country, which is a record in the history of the country. So more people left America under Obama than have left the country since the Pilgrims landed. That's a fact.
Well,
and that expatriation has been in droves, but the money flying in from other countries who are more at risk has more than covered that. And the U.S. currently has almost 65% of global capital parked here. And the first investment people typically make when they come, it's not a business, it's real estate. They tend to want the commodity and hedging aspect of real estate, whether it's holding a piece of land or an operating piece of real estate that they can develop or derive cash flow from. So real estate is typically the first foray into the U.S.
My gosh, you know, you keep on making me cry here. You tell me, first of all, they want to bring their assets into the U.S., then you want to have them protected, and then you want to do real estate. My gosh, you should be on this show every week, Tom. You're the best advertiser I have for what I do. And, you know, sitting here in the global crossroads and growing up here, you've seen many families. I know many families that left, Cuba. You know, I mean, come on, they expropriated a lot of assets, including my wife's family's entire real estate holdings there. But it happens all over the world. And now I think that, like you're saying, the rising tide of nationalism would scare me if I'm an internationally based firm. I could become a target.
Yeah, that is certainly true. I think the level of fear and the real threat of just having your assets wiped out in places like, you know, Venezuela and Argentina, I mean, families are literally putting cash in suitcases on penalty of going to prison because they can't get their money out of the country without the government taking it. And the economic distress in Venezuela is unbelievable. It's the people in a very bad. It's not as bad as North Korea, but it's awful. And Argentina families are flying out of there as fast as they possibly can. These are long-standing families who have land and businesses and billionaire families, in fact, and are trying to get out of there as fast as they can. Some of these family members have moved to the U.S. or to Europe, and they're trying to pull all the assets out of there they can. The dilemma is, moving a manufacturing firm or moving agribusiness is impossible to do. And so they're struggling with those risks that they really don't have a way to undo in the short term. And if the government takes it over, it's all over. And that's the end of the business and the asset.
Well, listen, Tom, can you stick with us for another segment? Because I think we're just getting started. And my gosh, you're talking about the family history of half the people I know here in Miami.
Fair enough. Sounds good, Jim.
All right, thanks. We'll be having more great information that Tom's going to talk about. It'll be interesting. It'll be informative and be stuff you can use to help your own family out. So stick with us back past the break. We're going to go rock and roll a little bit right now.